Good morning and welcome to Central. It's wonderful to worship with you. Thank you, David, and thank you, Byron, for your openness to come and join and worship together. I think God smiles when we do things like this, when we open our hearts and say we're one in the Lord, one body in Jesus Christ. And it's a joy to worship with you together. I love that. And we're looking forward to the next time. And then I can sit like David and Byron and sit back, and then you can do the work. And I can just listen. That's going to be pretty fun. So I might be a little out of practice today because I've been away for 3 weeks. So this is my first Sunday back too. So welcome, Aubrey. Glad that you're back. leave that be. And Alice, I know they said happy birthday. Happy birthday, sweet lady. If I could be 100 and still have a pink streak in my hair and walk with just a little cane in my hand, boy, what a gift from God. It's a blessing to know you. God's greatest gifts and blessings to you, my sweetheart. Wonderful. I'm going to do something this morning. We always take up collection at Central, and I know, I think I heard that you don't do that at Grace. That's fine. We're going to send the offering plates around. It's not for you to put something in there. For our folks, they better do that to keep this place going. Otherwise, we might join you permanently across the street. So we're going to send the plates around. So don't feel obliged to put something in there. That's not the reason why we're sending them. What is going to happen is at the end of the sermon, and I'm not going to announce this, after my prayer at the end of the sermon, the folks who take up collection, you just come get the plates and send them out, because praise team is going to come up here during the prayer, and we're just going to go straight into a beautiful song that we're going to do during that time. Father God, it's always amazing to be able to take your word and open this word and read and allow the Spirit to take those words and just place them in our hearts and speak into our hearts. So thank you for that. Forgive your servant, Lord, for his sins are many. But use the words, use this moment to speak into our lives. In Jesus we pray. Amen. I don't know how many of you have ever been lost. I think most of us have had this moment of being lost. So maybe you can relate to the story. So there was this guy who had a permanent job, but as a little side hustle, he would sing at funerals at the cemetery. So it was a new cemetery. He's never been to this that he had to go to this day. And somehow the GPS got messed up. He got messed up. He got lost. And it took him quite a while to get there. When he got to the cemetery, the service was over and done with. So he thought, oh, this is not good. Looked around and saw, oh, they're in the back corner. They're just busy closing the grave. And he's a guy who's, when he's committed, he's going to do what he said he was going to do. So he drives right to the back there, gets out of his car. The guy's closing up. They're busy there. The vault is kind of closed. But he says, listen, guys, I got lost, but I still want to do my thing. Can I still sing? So they stopped working and stood at their shovels, and he started singing, and he sang Amazing Grace. And he sang with all of his heart. And the Spirit moved, and he started crying, and they came and stood around him, and they were all crying, and there was this beautiful moment. And then he offered a little benediction prayer at the end. And as he walked away, he overheard one of the guys saying, I've never experienced anything like that in my whole life, and I've been burying septic tanks for 20 years. Sorry, forgive me. I will keep my day job. I won't go into. The reason I start like that is because if you look at the Bible, there's so many stories of people getting lost. I sometimes think the family of God is a little bit of a lost and found. You know how that works, right? Whereas it's Sundays, Donnie has to come around and check because people leave stuff, and we have a little basket in the back, and next Sunday you can come and check. Oh, got my gloves again. Got my glasses again. You can go find them, and you are united with that which is yours, which you lost for a moment. And for the next 3 weeks, we're doing this little series called Heaven Celebrates, where we're going to talk about lost and found from the book of Luke, chapter 15. Tell three stories, and we all know the stories well. First story is the story about the shepherd who had 100 sheep and lost one. Second story is about a woman who had 10 coins and lost one. The third story is the story about a father who had two boys, and one of them got lost. But maybe the golden thread that runs through all of them is that moment in which every time when they find that which was lost, there is this moment in which they say, rejoice with me, be glad, because that which I lost is now back and I have found that. The father's story is even better when he says, my boy was dead, but he's alive. So let's throw a party. Because you see, that's what Jesus is all about, right? He's all about looking, always seeking those who need to belong to his kingdom. He doesn't just say, oh well, coin somewhere, let's forget about it. So read with me those first two stories and then we'll go from there. Luke chapter 15, verse 3 to 10, and I'm reading this section, I'm reading from the NIV. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, goes home, and then he tells his friends and neighbors, calls them together, and he says, rejoice with me. So there's that moment. Rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep. And then here's our first verse to underline, verse 7. Because I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light the lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. There it goes again, that celebration. I found my lost coin. And there's your second line to underline, second verse, verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Or as the message would say, count on it. That's the kind of party that God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. Isn't that cool? That's the kind of party that the angels throw when one lost soul turns back to God. It's remarkable, isn't it? This reaction over one conversion. I mean, I think I have it right. I don't think God threw a party when you retired. I don't think God threw a party when you were born. But why this huge reaction in heaven over one person? What do you think? Why? Could it be that they know what we still hope to know? Could it be that they know what's waiting for us and that we have no idea how amazing that is going to be? Could it be that they can't wait for that moment to see your face when you walk into that place and you see your Lord face to face and to see that reaction that's going to come from that? Because here's what's going to happen in that moment. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. From the New Living. Dear friends, we're already God's children. But, and can I just stop here for a second? The folks at Central know by now, I've taught them about biblical buts. When you run into a biblical but, it's a moment to stop and pay attention. We're going to get two buts in this one. So, dear friends, we're already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. And then comes the big but. But what we do know is this. We do know that we will be like him. And we will see him as he really is. Why does it throw a party? Because can you see that moment when you walk into heaven? There's a song, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be when we all see Jesus and we'll sing and dance in victory. Can you for a moment see that moment when you walk into heaven and your Lord that you have served in this world as a child of God, which you are, but in that moment, he changes you, he transforms you forever. Romans 12 says, be transformed, uses a beautiful word. The Greek word is metamorphosa. You can hear that in English, metamorphosis. When you turn into this beautiful butterfly that God made you. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpieces. And in that moment, God just takes this little masterpiece that he has been painting and he just puts the last little brush strokes on there. You are changed forever to be like him. Can you imagine that moment? That's why he's looking for each one of us. Does not let you stay behind. Because that's why he came. Can you imagine that moment when I am transformed from glory to glory, from grace to grace, into what God intended me to be forever? Can you for a moment envision the heart of Jesus? And when you see that heart, can you see your own heart? Remember what the word says. Be careful what goes on in your heart because it will determine your whole life. And we know our hearts. Even as children of God, we know our hearts. They're not always as pure as the Lord wants them to be. But imagine that moment when this whole heart life is transformed, guiltless, pure, filled with joy, worshiping Jesus. Because that's what we will be. No wonder these angels just throw this huge party. I wonder what emotions weighed you down this week. Made it hard for you. Maybe fear. Maybe anxiety. Maybe resentment, maybe anger. Who knows? Can I tell you something? All of these emotions have a really short shelf life. Because there comes a day and a moment, and it's not that far, when all of these emotions and struggles that weigh me down, they will be gone. Because I will be like Jesus. And my heart will be like Jesus. And with the angels, I'm going to break that piñata and I'm going to drink that fruit punch and I'm going to just dance with joy with the Lord. And here's the coolest thing. Not just me, all of us. Because we're all going to be like him. I will love even those that hurt me, like Jesus, unconditionally. I will forgive, like Jesus, graciously. I will serve like my Lord, faithfully, even if it would have taken me to a cross. You see, heaven is populated by those who allow God to find them and to transform their lives. Heaven is this perfect place for imperfect people who were lost and were graciously found by one who sought them because of his love and changed their lives forever. Can you imagine that? No more arguments, because I'm not going to be selfish anymore. I don't want to fight anymore. No more bitterness, because I'm not going to be jealous anymore. No more fear. No more sin. No more things of this world. All because he came to seek and to find. How blessed we are. How blessed we are, children of God, to know that. How blessed we are to know that he's already found us. But how important then for us to live every day more and more like him and allow him to already start that transformation in my life. John says, we are already children, but boy, we have no idea how amazing we're going to be, but we are already transformed little by little, day by day, to be more like him. But there's another reason why the angels throw a party. Because on the other side of heaven, there's a place called hell. And I know people of the 21st century, they don't want to talk about that. And it's kind of, it's just a metaphor. I don't think so. The Bible talks about it. And I believe the Bible. I hope you do too. The Bible says there's a place called hell. Those who do not want to be found. Those who do not want to live like Christ called them to live. Those who do turn their backs on Christ and want to run away. There is a place like that. The Greek calls it Gehenna, which comes from the Hebrew two words, Ge and Hinnom, the Valley of Hinnom. The Valley of Hinnom in the days of Jesus was a horrible place. If you stood on the Temple Mount and you looked down to the Valley of Hinnom, the people who served the pagan gods had their altars there. And on these altars, the fires were always burning. And this was the place in which they had to bring their firstborn children and to sacrifice them to these pagan gods. And you would hear the wailing and the crying of the mothers all the day and night when these kids were sacrificed. Those bones would just fall there on the ground and the worms would start eating them. And when they spoke about hell, they said, that's how hell looks like. Where the fire never ends and the crying never stops and the worm never stops. Heaven throws a party and hell is all about crying and the gnashing of teeth. And Jesus doesn't want us there. And that's why he looks for us. He leaves 99 to go find one. He leaves 10 to go find one. He'll sit on that front porch and he'll wait with longing eyes and open arms and waiting. And when he sees that lost child, he starts running and he kisses and he holds and he throws the huge party. Because he doesn't want us in Gehenna. He wants us to be with him. So we have a choice. To be like that, and we didn't read that story. We're going to do that one next week. To be like that boy who gets up and says, boy, I'm lost. I'm with the pigs and I smell like a pig and I did like a pig. So I'm going to go back to my dad and say, hey, dad, I messed up. So just make me like a servant. Because I'm not worthy to be your child. And before I can even try and say those words, my father opens his arms and he says, come here, child. And he hugs that stinky old me. And he kisses that stinky old me. And he calls me child. Because that's who you are. So we have this choice. There's a slide for this grace. We have the choice. You go through that narrow door, the small gate, or to go through the wide gate of the world. We have the choice to walk on the narrow path or to go on the wide road of what the world says that will lead me to where whoever knows. I can build on a rock or I can build on sand. I could be wise or I could be foolish. I could be prepared for that moment or I could be unprepared. I can be heaven called or make the choice to be hell bound. But all we have to do is this, because the invitation is there, is to say yes. To say yes to Jesus. To say yes to myself. Get out of this mud pit. Get out of this stinky place and go back to your father if you've messed up. Go into those arms that are waiting for you. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to his love, because sometimes it's so hard for us to understand that love when I look at myself and I'm thinking, you love me, Lord. You care for me, Lord? Yes, He does. Just say yes. Yes, Lord, I've messed up. Yes, Lord, I've sinned. And I'm sorry. And I repent of that. But yes, Lord, I want to walk with You. I want to be part of that party. Are you ready for a party? Take a few moments of silent prayer. It's easy to take for granted, Lord, who we are in You. Because most of us, as we sit here, have known You for a long time. But thank You for reminding us of who we really are in You. Thank You for reminding us, Lord, that every day You still walk with us. And if sometimes we kind of mess up, You don't turn Your back. Because that is why You came to seek and to save those who are lost. And at some stage, we were all there. Thank You for Your seeking love. Thank You for Your open arms. Thank You for hands that are gracious and kind, that are not judging and scary and angry, but that love us, that hold us. Thank You for this moment, Lord. Thank You that in this moment we can hear as You call us again. Because that's what You did. You came so that we could come to You. And be with You in Your kingdom forever. We love You, Lord. We love You with all that is in our hearts. And in a moment, can we just pray for those who are in need this morning? For those who are struggling, maybe with hard, difficult news. For those who are struggling with their health. For those who are struggling with life. Things that are hard. Will You, Lord, minister into each of their lives as You alone can do through Your Holy Spirit, Your Comforter that walks with us. When we ask these things, we do that in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior.